Hello, my name is Phoebe Hanning and I'm 14 years old. Today is March 30th and I'm speaking to Mrs. Coleman, who is the Dean of Students at Virginia Episcopal School. We are recording this interview in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Good, good. Getting ready for a meeting, a student life meeting.
Oh, fun.
In our packed house, and my daughter's gonna, we have like a extra workstation set up in here. One daughter will be working during our meeting. Do you have headphones? You don't need them, you can use mine if you want, but anyway, go ahead. I don't want to take your day out.
Yeah, okay. No, you're good. So I have a couple like little questions to get started, and then I'll have bigger ones, I guess. I don't know, I've never done this before, it's kind of weird. So would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I would say that I'm an extroverted introvert, and I'm not trying to be cheeky. I took a quiz and it said you're actually it basically described who I was, which is like is social situations are, I struggle a little bit in like a large room. I'm super uncomfortable, but I'm a sunny person. So I'm like, I like, hey, but yeah. It takes me a while. I'm introverted on the inside.
Yeah, that's really interesting. How would you describe yourself to someone who's never met you?
Optimistic, positive, direct. yeah, that's it.
So would you consider yourself a natural leader then? Or do you often have to push yourself?
I don't know. I was just talking to my husband about this. Like in my younger years, I might have thought like he who feels most naturally speaking in front of people. Like I love public speaking. Straight. Like I'm one of those people that I'm dying on the inside like at a cafeteria table to conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you put me on stage in front of an audience, then I love it. So I don't know what that has to do with leadership other than. I don't know. I just said to my husband, like, just because you like to speak in front of groups of people doesn't make you a leader, And so I don't know. It's a quality. I don't know what a natural leader is. You have to have courage. You have to, I don't know. I forget your question, but I don't know. I don't know if there, I think there's like part natural ability and then part you have to learn.
Yeah.
So.
So moving on in a totally different direction. Do you have a favorite movie or TV series that you really enjoy or would recommend to people?
Oh my gosh. let me see. See, I feel like that's so... Favorite movie? Oh, Life is Beautiful is my favorite. I love that movie so much. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's amazing. I can't recommend, it's sad, but it's also hysterically funny. It's great. Your parents have probably seen it.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that too, because I'm now looking for things now that we have so much extra time.
I mean, Life is Beautiful. If you like watching movies and you're like into film, that it won Best Picture.
Oh, wow.
But it is a Holocaust movie and it's hilarious. It's like two movies in one. It's amazing. I love it. I love Quiz Show too. Quiz Show, if you've never seen that, great, 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 great film. Shows, I don't know. Like, I binge watch, so. Like, my 100% favorite of all time is Modern Family, of course. But I like Downton Abbey. I like period pieces where you see costumes and I like really good, rich characters. That's kind of,
yeah.
If it's written with good characters, I like it.
That's cool. So you've worked at various different boarding schools. Do you have any favorite stories from boarding school?
Favorite story, like about what? You'd have to narrow it.
Maybe like a student or something, or a favorite like interaction with a student.
I have to say I've taught high school and middle school and... I don't know. Those middle schoolers are pretty darn funny. I don't know. I have to think about that one. That's hard. I have a lot of stories. You have to narrow it down for me. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I just kind of came up with these on the fly. What would you consider your greatest accomplishment?
You mean professionally or personally?
personally?
Personally, overcoming, I don't know, it's a little too personal. Personally, yeah, I guess like no matter what, it's general. It's like no matter what life, dad's trying to get in the door, honey, can you meet them? No matter, I feel like my greatest accomplishment in life is the realization that no matter what life throws at me, like you can face it with a positive attitude. Like having like that feeling of like the obstacle is the way, like there's no obstacle. You just figure out, you just adapt. And so being able to understand that has helped me most in life.
That's really cool. Do you have a best friend, and how did you meet them, or what's your favorite memory with them?
Oh, my best friend's my husband, for sure. That poor guy tolerates me. Right, hon? He's ignoring me. That's part of the gift. I don't know. I also feel like my daughters are my best friends. Like, not in a way, like, I'm still their mom, and they know the line. But we, like, my favorite people to be with, it's my family. Now, my family. But I will say, I have like good friends everywhere. Like I've collected a bestie everywhere I've gone. Like I'm not a person that has a million. I'm not a social butterfly. Like I'm constantly like standoffish. And then when I find the person, I'm like, you're my person. So there's a bestie. And I had a really good group of friends in Switzerland, but I have some true blues there. I have a true blue in my hometown. I have a true blue in Princeton, New Jersey. I have a true, and then I have a crew in my where I live in the summer. So I don't know. My memories, I don't know. I just have a million memories. I would say like with every single best friend I've collected, and there's probably like five or six, and then I have this group of friends at the beach, but I don't know. Like I'll change your question. I can tell that they are going to be my true blue. If they are like, if I sense that they are truly authentic, and I don't mean that in an Oprah kind of way. I mean it like, if I get any sense that you're not real, it's not going to happen for us.
Yeah. Would you mind sharing how you met your husband?
We were both on the University of Tennessee swim team.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is one thing that always cheers you up when you're sad?
Swimming. For sure. It's exercise, but specifically anything having to do with swimming in water. It could be ocean, pond, pool, doesn't matter. If I swim, I am happy.
What beach? Do you go to like a beach every year?
So we have a house on Long Beach Island in New Jersey, and I grew up going there. My family had a home, and then my husband and I bought a home there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is something you always have with you, whether it be like in your purse or on your nightstand or something?
I think I always have chapstick with me.
Yeah. That's
glasses. I have reading glasses everywhere, in every corner of my life. Reading glasses and chapstick.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any role models or people that inspire you?
You know, I really like, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Like, there's this, I like clothes. Like, I like looking at fashion, and I'm not like I have clothes, but I'm not like somebody that, so there's this woman, I don't know, I have a lot of role models, but there's this fashion icon, I don't even know her name. I follow her. Accidental icon. I like, who do I really look up to? I look up to Oprah Winfrey, actually. That's like a good actual answer. Oprah Winfrey. Let's go with her.
Nice. Sorry. we've been in quarantine for a while. Have you picked up any new hobbies or fun things you like to do during quarantine?
My phone is blowing up. I do not know what is going on. Yes, I would like coffee. Yes, I would like coffee. what was your question? I'm sorry.
Oh, have you picked up any new hobbies during quarantine?
No, I have not. I actually, though, my daughter came home from Clemson because they were canceled, and she brought a bike home with her. And I have a bike at the beach, but mm-hmm. I do not have a bike here. So I'm about to do my first like zoom around campus on a bike.
Oh
so.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Any new things, no.
Is there any hobby, regardless of being in quarantine, is there any hobby that you would want to pick up at some point?
So I wish I had the patience to sewing. If I get really bad neck pain, but so if I didn't get that, I would want to sew. I wish I could make my own curtains. I wish I could, I just sewing. I wish I could. And my grandmother sewed all the time. And
yeah,
it's
my
like,
grandmother's too.
Yeah, I wish I knew how. And I took sewing in school, like in middle yeah. school home. I was terrible at it, but I think I want to try it again.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Do you have any scars or birthmarks or tattoos?
No tattoos. I do have, I had spinal fusion on my neck.
Oh, wow.
And they went through here. I have a pretty good one. And I have an ankle. I had a surgery on my ankle. Here's a good middle school story, student story. Here's a good one. I had to be, when I was teaching middle school, I taught middle school for, 8 years. And I was the assistant head of the middle school. And in like the first or second year there, I had to be the boys basketball middle school B team.
Nice.
We won one game 4-6 or something. Like we were terrible and there was no score. So anyway, I was like in with the boys. I was a terrible coach and they tolerated me. I basically let the sixth grade boys coach. Like they'd come and tell me the plays and I would be like, okay, that sounds good. Like they won to me in the middle. We were tied once and they came over like, we should press. And I was like, that sounds great. I have no idea what I'm a swimmer. But anyway, so I was like in with them, you know, so I thought. Mm-hmm. They thought I was like, a cool lady. I was like their sixth grade English teacher. So they were like, this is, you know, later those boys, they're now like seniors in college. And they'd be like, I think they just graduated actually. But they'd be like, that was like AP sixth grade English, Mrs. Coleman. I'm like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was cutting literally from teaching AP Lang for years down to sixth grade. And I didn't know what I was doing. But anyway, back to the story. I was playing faculty versus the kids basketball. And I hit a shot. I'm terrible at basketball. Hit it. And I was talking smack to Stevie Mansfield. I was like, yes, Stevie. Ha, ha, ha. And the next shot, I went up, tried to hit it again. I mean, this is in front of the whole school. Came down on another kid's foot and rolled my ankle. And I tore four ligaments and got a bone bruise on my talus dome, the part that goes into your foot. Yes. Surgery, the whole thing.
Wow.
It was awful. So yes, I have a couple scars. That but the one on my ankle is why I don't play in faculty versus the kids anything anymore.
Smart. do you have any siblings?
I have three sisters, and I am the third of four.
Oh, cool, cool. Did you get along with them as a child?
Yes. I was always the one that was like stirring it up. Trying to get attention. So like I get along best with everybody now. Like I'm the that I can have a relationship with. Like they're not all so close with each other, but I have a good relationship with each one of them. Part of that is because I moved to Switzerland. Like when you live far apart from your family, it's like suddenly becomes super important. But it always was important to me. But since Switzerland, we're even close. I'm even closer with each one of my sisters.
Yeah. This one's another vague one. Have you learned any lessons working at a boarding school versus like a not boarding school?
School? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like you just get to know. I feel like you can't be a good teacher unless you understand that how important the whole child is. Like, and I know that's probably sounds cliche, but it's like, boarding school is, and you know, just how human beings code switch depending on the situation. So like if I see a student in the hallway and say like, hey, how are you doing? They might be one way to me, like day students here might be one way to me. And then like, I could say the same thing to a boarding student and they're like, yo, you know, and it's because I know them at night, you know, or I coach them and they're like, yeah, I don't know. It's just getting to know kids in different arenas just makes all the difference, I think.
Yeah. So with your family, do you have any holidays that are really special to you or any traditions?
Let's see. I don't know. We used to have one where we would go to our beach house for Thanksgiving and it would be freezing and there's nobody down there and we would have family Olympics and it was like ongoing all day long. Like you're making the meal and then you stop and play Jenga and whoever loses that, like it was always kids against the adults. So like if they lost and then you know, we'd had dog herding on the beach, like whoever can get the dog to get down to the jetty and first faster win. We'd have a bike race and it was freezing, like bike race 1 mile down and back on these beach cruisers, our old beach cruisers. So whoever won at the end didn't have to do the dishes.
That's awesome.
We oscillate. 1 year we go on a trip for Christmas and the next year we give gifts. So that's a big one. Like next year is a trip when we're trying and we're spending every day leading up to it arguing about what the Christmas trip's going to be.
Who would you consider the most important in your life so far?
The most important person? My mother. Yeah, she passed away in 2003.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And yeah, she's the most important influence, I would say.
Who do you trust the most and why?
I don't know. You know what? That's so funny that you asked that. Who do I trust? I'm not an easy truster. Let's leave it
there.
That's fair. Who do I trust with a secret or who do I trust with my personal dignity? Those are two different things.
Who do you trust with, like, your personal dignity and, like, information?
My husband I trust with my personal dignity.
Yeah.
And he would keep a secret, so my husband.
Yeah.
If we're going to be friends, I have to be able to trust you with my personal dignity. Like, you would never hurt my heart.
Do you have a biggest fear?
Drowning.
Oh, that's...
No hesitation.
That's interesting because you swim, but then it's also...
I just think of like...
Yeah.
Heights is second. I don't like heights. But drowning... Yeah, drowning.
Do you have a normal everyday routine, sort of?
Well, I used to. Since I got fancy, my routine is out the window. That's what I will say. So now it's like a fancy, like before this Corona thing, I would get up and walk the dog, have my coffee, go to work, you know, like I'm a very regimented person. Now I feel like I don't even know what day it is anymore, but I'm no matter what situation it is, I'm very regimented. Yes.
How would you spend a typical Saturday night?
Can I switch to a Friday night?
Sure.
Friday night, no matter where we are pizza Friday night people. And
same.
Yeah, it's pizza and Friday night. Mr. Coleman and I will have some sort of special beverage. And if the girls are home, you know, like wine or beer or whatever, everybody's, well, Pepper's not of age, but PJ is. And we just like watch a movie or watch a TV show, whatever. It's just like kind of a rule of pizza for sure.
Yeah.
The rest is just like, relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Are you ever spontaneous?
Yeah. I mean, I am spontaneous I like it when somebody calls me out of the blue and says, do you want to go do this right now? Like, I actually like socially the last minute thing over the writing something on my calendar, because the thing on my calendar feels like work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so if somebody's like, a week from Saturday, do you want to go to this thing? And I'm like, ugh, like, just, like, it's not about going with the person or to the thing. It's mm-hmm. about making a plan. So, like, I don't like getting boxed in yeah. in my free time. So, yes, I actually prefer spontaneity in my personal life.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you like to read?
Yes.
Do you prefer it over watching movies?
I do prefer it over watching movies. I prefer a television show, short escape for a minute. Like TV, it's just like, I just need something mindless while I'm baking or, yeah. you know, like, mm-hmm. we're just like relaxing, you know, but something that it has to be like a amazing movie to keep my attention. I can't, I'm not like, and I never have been great at like sitting there and focusing. I have to do something else unless it's a really great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite writer or a favorite book series or anything?
Gosh, I don't know. I know that it has to have great, like, if I can connect with the characters, I love it. It's more about like, my friend is a librarian and she tells me great things to read. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed to say that I have not gone to the library in Lynchburg yet. I still take books out of Princeton Library and of like through Overdrive.
Yeah.
And I still take books out from my Swiss library. My librarian friend will be like, here, this is, you know, she tells me what to read. And so I just read whatever she tells me to read. And then Pepper just gave me a book. What's the book I'm reading right now?
Okay.
The Wangs. What's it called that I'm reading? The Wangs.
The Wangs versus the World.
The Wangs versus the World I'm reading right now.
That sounds interesting.
Look it up. It's yeah. a good one.
When you were a child, did you enjoy school?
I hated school. Like, no hesitation. I hated it. And having to sit in the PD last week where we had to learn, I cannot. I was doodling, like, this is why I hated school. It's not that. It was all interesting stuff. It was having to sit. I cannot do it. And so it wasn't, I had great teachers. I went to great schools. I just could not stand the sitting for so long. And I imagine, like, gosh, what if, like, when I learned to be a teacher and got my master's in education, we had to learn teaching strategies
mm-hmm.
that it was all about like moving and creativity and making them think and discussion. When I went to school, I'm probably a little bit older than your dad or maybe the same age, I don't know. It was like a lot, my school was considered a good school and it was a lot of sit and chalk and talk and listen. Yeah. And I look back now, like, I don't know how I survived. I hated it so much.
Do you have any annoying habits or quirks?
I tidy up constantly. I never stop. I'm like a shark moving through the house and constantly picking something up and maybe a little touch of the OCD. Like, everything has to be, yeah. Like, the old isosceles triangle staple. That's a little weird.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. I like it tidy.
Yeah. Although I guess of all things to do constantly, tidying up isn't the worst. Because then it's...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I guess brushing my teeth would be better, but I don't... I brush when you're supposed to. I don't do it constantly.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any quotes or like a motto that you live by?
Fall down 7 times, stand up 8.
Wow. That's really cool. At the beginning of the year, did the faculty have to do an Enneagram thing?
We did, and I've done it before.
Uh-huh.
And I have come up something different every time I've done it.
Really?
So I'm convinced that it just depends on what part of the year it is. Like, when you're a teacher and you've got your summer off and you come like woohoo, coming back into school. I'm like a 9 or something. I don't know, some foreign person that I'm not really. But wait, hey, Mark. Sorry. What, in Enneagram, was I a 1 when we first did it? I was a 1 when we first did it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, what was it?
This year, I did it in September, and I was a 9, and I think I came out a 3 another time. I don't know, but I was a 9 this year when I came back, I think. I can't remember, but my family says, Mom, you are a 1 through and through. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
That's really cool. My mom's a 1.
There.
Do you have a favorite color?
I used to say it's periwinkle, but I have to switch over to purple, I think. And it depends on if we're talking clothes or home furnishings.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, contoured purple. I tend to put on a lot of purple, and I don't know, you know, like, I just, this isn't purple, but like, I have a lot of purple. And I tend to be like, well, I like that. I think it's like, I want to be purple. I don't know why. It's like brings my mood up or something. But then in home furnishings, I think I'm more blue, and then I like a pop of red.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's fun.
I like pink, too, like hot pink. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born, and, like, what sort of stories are, like, how did that shape you, I guess?
Okay, so I was born in Pennsylvania in a little town in a was born in a town called Abington because that's where the good hospital was, but it was like 20 minutes away. I grew up in a town called Doylestown, Pennsylvania. It's in central Bucks County. And my kids were the 6th generation of my family to live there. Yeah. So I actually have like all this information about my family. When I went to school in Tennessee and met Mr. Coleman, like you couldn't get any more like Daughters of the American Revolution, Doyle's, you know, and literally that's what, you know, like my grandmother was always like, you're going to be in DAR. Mr. Coleman is half Thai. His dad's parents are immigrants from Czechoslovakia. His mom was from Thailand. Like,
wow.
I'm the only one in my family that like went away, met somebody who was from even farther away. And like, I'm like the black sheep in a way. I brought Mr. Coleman in, like he's like diverse compared to my family.
Mm-hmm. If you had 24 hours left on Earth, what would you do?
Go swim in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it were like warm enough, but I'd find an ocean that's warm enough and go swim in, like surf and boogie board and float around. Yeah.
What makes you laugh most?
Oh my gosh. What or who? My daughter PJ, and I don't know, my daughter PJ is hysterically funny. Peppers can't hear me, I guess. So my older daughter she's got a gift of cracking me up. I don't know.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I don't know. Either at VES is definitely in the running. You know, the people here are so nice. I will be in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. I'm not going to go, even though I say sometimes like, oh, move to Italy, my favorite place on earth. I'll be US forever. Hopefully at VES. But you never know, you know, life, that's what I've learned. I used to say, like, my mother-in-law would say, like, you shouldn't live in your hometown, Doylestown, forever. Mm-hmm. 'Cause my kids were born, you know, I was like, I will never leave this town ever. So I don't mean to be like, ooh, I'm going to leave ES, but I'm just like, you know, you don't know where life's going to throw things. You don't know what's going to happen. So hopefully here.
Yeah. If you could change one thing about yourself, would you change anything?
Yes, I would change that I love sugar and I eat and like eat how much sugar I eat. And I feel like being on quarantine or whatever we are, isolated, it's like a constant struggle to not go eat something sweet.
Yeah, the amount of Oreos I've eaten in the last, like, 2 weeks is impressive.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm doing. Like, I know what it does to your body, and I'm like, stop doing it. Why are you doing it to yourself? Mm-hmm. So that, if I could, like, and I know, like, from all the research is, like, my brain is probably addicted to sugar from when I was a teenager, and my family, my mom, it was like, woohoo, eat whatever you want. And so I'm not blaming my mom, but I understand I'm addicted to sugar 100%. I know, because it calls to me.
Mm-hmm. Are you more of a coffee person or tea person?
Coffee.
Oh, yeah, you said that earlier.
I'm just like, the amazing. Well, and I try to break the habit of having it in the afternoon, but these sorts of situations, I'm like,
yeah, why not? Yeah. So, wait, the last school you were at, where was it again?
Switzerland.
How does Switzerland compare, I guess, in people-wise with Americans?
So, like, adults or the kids? The school?
Yeah.
The kids, it was a much more international school. Like, this is great in terms of we have an international feel here, mm-hmm. or piece of international, but there's all different kinds of schools. And so international school, strictly speaking, has a different feeling than yeah. this. It's like the whole umbrella of the co-curricular or the student life approach is different. It's like, thanks, hon. Yay. Thank you. Just different. You have to constantly take into consideration cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
And like here, for example, there are no Russian kids. And this year, I guess there's no Saudi kids, I don't think. I don't know. So when I came here this year, I was like, wow, what a difference a group of Russians makes on a school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not saying that like bad or good. I'm saying like that is one heck of a cultural influence on a school. And all of that sort of, you know, Eastern Europe, we don't have any of that here. And it's mm-hmm. different. If you have an Eastern European cultural influence on your school, it makes it a different school. And I sometimes say, like, oh, we need to throw some Kazakh kids in here, or Uzbekis, or mm-hmm. you know, Ukrainians in here to see what happens. And then other days I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness there's no Russian kids here. You know, I mean, cause like for example, I've had kids say to me, and they mean it, and they're not being cheeky, they've said, like, you know, like, cheating is good. Like, sometimes you have to lie. And it's because their parents grew up in the Cold War.
Yeah.
And they would have to lie to get some toilet paper. Like, that's part of the culture. And so mm-hmm. they're raised in houses that it's kill or be killed. They're very wealthy. And their parents sometimes had to be dishonest. This is them speaking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes their parents had to be dishonest to get their extreme wealth.
Yeah.
So they very much look at it like, of course you have to lie sometimes. What are you, naive? And you're like, well, it's not honorable, and they don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I'm not generalizing, but that was the biggest difference I saw, where it was like Eastern European people in this generation were raised by people who felt they had to lie. And sometimes to get a necessity in life, they did have to lie. Mm-hmm. And so that shapes a culture. And that was different there. And then, like, having Saudi boys look at me and smile like they respect me, and know, like, I'm a woman, and they might think they're being, like, don't confuse their manners with mm-hmm. respecting you.
Yeah.
Because you're a woman, it's not the kind of respect that you would hope they could have for you. Even if they liked me and they were polite to me, it did not mean they respected me. And it didn't mean I didn't like them. It was just like, oh, I would see the difference the way the Saudi boys would treat the men versus me. And they were always polite, but they weren't coming to me for a certain advice.
Yeah.
I was like a thing they needed to get by to mm-hmm. get what they wanted. So I could talk all day on that.
Yeah. So when you went there, did you learn and teach in a different language, or did you still speak English?
It was an American school in Switzerland, so people were coming there to learn English.
Oh, cool.
But we lived in a French-speaking village, so, like, if we went down to buy a croissant at the store, you had the, and then I'd bungle it and be like, croissant, s'il vous plaît. And that's it. Au revoir, merci. Everybody says au revoir, merci when you leave. So, but everybody says bonjour.
So you said when you were there, just the differences with, like, sometimes some of the boys would respect you, but they wouldn't come for certain advice. Did you ever have any moments where you had to, like, stand up for somebody and, like, say, hey, what you're doing isn't correct?
Oh, this is a pretty grisly, you want a pretty direct story from last year? So, okay, this is going to blow your mind. So the kids had 7 weekends a year that they could travel, and go, and European kids grow up a little faster than kids in the States, mm-hmm. for better or for worse, right? So like, we were way up in a mountain in the Alps, our school, and you could just get on a cog train and take it down the mountain for 30 minutes, and then you could get on the Swiss rail and go to the Geneva airport, and you could fly anywhere you wanted to go for very cheap prices. So the kids would make plans, like, we're going to go to Barcelona this weekend, or we're going to go to London this weekend, next weekend's Paris, next weekend's whatever. They would, go where, Monaco, whatever. They'd group up, as kids will, and say, like, we're going to go have a fun time all weekend. And they had wealth beyond wealth at their disposal. Their parents were like, go, have fun. Mm-hmm. And we had boarding wear, so the parents would approve of it all. Or the kids would trick it with a VPN and approve their own travel.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So when I got there, everybody could travel on the same travel weekends. And I immediately said, that's dumb, because you're letting 10th grade girls travel the same weekend in these groups that senior boys are traveling. And the drinking age is 16 all over Europe for beer and wine. So I'm like, that's a recipe for disaster. And the people that had been there for a long time said, oh, we always, the week after travel weekend, have accusations of terrible things happening, like sexual assaults happening. Mm-hmm. And so last year, there was a girl that, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Russian girl. And I didn't realize it, but she was only 15 years old. She looked like she was 22. Mm-hmm. And not that that has anything to do with it, but it broke my heart because all the Russian boys respected her. She was tough as nails, beautiful. And I had to, like, substitute teach in her class for a day. I don't know what happened, but I was teaching them debate, and whatever happened in that class, like, the next thing I know, it's the next day, and kids are coming and saying she was sexually assaulted in, like, October, and it was March. Mm-hmm. And so it turned into, like, literally me saying to, like, the Russian boys, and it was a Kazakh boy who allegedly did that, and it was all the Russian boys stood with the boy, with the, mm-hmm. like, and when I had meetings with the Russian boys, they said, in our culture, and my mother and father are no different, men get to do whatever they want. And she doesn't get, and I said to the boys, Max, da 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 da. And one of the boys was her brother. I said, well, do you believe her? And they were like, oh, it happened. But Murat gets to do that. Hmm. So it turned into, like, not as much. It's like standing up to a cultural norm. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa, like, guys. And so it's a matter of having the energy and stamina and courage to say, no. This isn't just going to be like open and shut. Okay, the rule was broken. She's obviously in counseling. I had to tell her parents it was awful. But it wasn't going to be like 2 conversations to convince these boys that this is not a good. Men can't do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And the saddest part, obviously, was the brother. He was like, she shouldn't have gone there. She shouldn't have, like, all blaming the victim stuff. And it was all because women in that culture, in those cultures, are just like 3 pegs down.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's one of the reasons when I left there, that boy was, we asked him to leave school immediately. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I was sad to leave, because I felt like, and I really was ready to leave there, but I felt like there's so much good work that can be done here right now. Like, it was such a big moment, and it was like, well, bye. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Sorry, that was a vivid story.
Oh, no, you're good. Was there any sort of, like, honor code, I guess? Like, we have the honor code. Was there any sort of...
There, if you were accused of cheating, you were presumed guilty, right? Like, the dean of students' office, we would sit there and talk about, like, all right. And the dean of academics would talk and go, well, actually, we would just say, like, here, this is the accusation. And the dean of academics would figure it out. And it would be very, like, hush-hush and, like, maybe not written down. And then... if the kid was found guilty of anything, a major violation of the handbook, like say he was caught juuling in his room or drinking or something like that, the honor process there was an appeals process. So like you were the adult, there was no like conversation other than the adult sat in the room and said guilty. And then if the kid said, I want to appeal it, then the whole team of students was brought in. And it was a team of 4 students and 3 adults. And I had to type up the case, and I would read the case out, and then the kid would say their side, and we'd say we found him guilty, and then they'd decide.
That's really cool.
It was okay.
I have one final question for you, and this one's kind of weird. But if you said you really liked books, if you could name a book, like if you wrote a book and named it, what would you name it?
If I wrote a book and named it, I'm more of a short story person.
Okay.
First of all. So like if I were to, or if I ever imagined writing something, it would be a short story. I don't know. I would name, all right, let's just be on top. Like this is the topic right now, right? COVID-19.
Sure.
And I was thinking today, I was telling Pepper today, like, you know, like, and maybe you couldn't, like, we, and I told the English department today, like, they were saying, like, ugh, college essays are all going to be about COVID-19. And I said, right, I would tell my students right now to write about, like, January or December of this year, or what was important to them then. And, like, I don't know. I guess, like, but then I told Pepper today, you know, like, how could I turn, maybe I could turn this into a title because I thought it was cute. I said, you know, right now for the dress code for the ladies, the phrase I think I'll go with pants today takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah,
so we don't have to put on pants. Anything if we want. I don't know. So like I think I'll put on pants today. I'll go with pants today. And then I could write a whole story. I could write a whole story about this year called I think I'll go with pants today.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's hilarious. I mean, that's all I have.
All right.
So
you're 3 minutes under. I have this poor student life team meeting. Your dad's probably so tired.
Well, thank you so much. This was really cool. Well,
thank you. If you have any other questions,